Okay, as we are within Shloshim Yom of Chag, there's a lot of people that are starting to study the halachos of Hechsher Kelim. Not as much as it used to be, because it used to be people with Kasher Kelim for Pesach. Nowadays, most of the time, people just have different Kelim for Pesach. So it's more about packing up boxes or suitcases, and not so much about Kasher and Kelim, but still, it's a good time of the year to talk about Hechsher Kelim. So I wanted to talk about the halachic status of glass. Someone actually just asked me this morning about kashering drinking glasses. So I figured it would be a good opportunity to talk about this topic. Now, in theory, there are three types of kelim that could exist. Two of them we know for sure exist. A third category may or may not exist. One category that could exist and does exist is a category of kli that could be balea tam and can also be polate tam, right? That it could absorb flavor and can also extract that flavor, and certainly metal kelim would fit into such a category. A second category could be a category of kelim that could be balea tam but cannot be polate the tam, and that we know that is a category that exists as well. That is klecheres. Klecheres can absorb, but they cannot extract any tam. And then, in theory, we're not sure if such a category exists, but in theory, there could be a category that's not balea anything. That's not balea, and therefore no need to be polate, because it's never balea anything. It's impervious to any tam. So, in the Gemara, it never tells us whether glass is balea or polate or anything like that, but there are three sources in Chazal that would give us some sort of indication as to what the status of glass is. One is the Gemara Masech Shabbos Daf Tesvav, but the context is in Hilchos Tuma, and it compares glass to cheres, as far as Hilchos Tuma is concerned. A second is the Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Hayam and Beis, and that one is about Tevilas Kelim. So again, not in Kashrus, but about Tevilas Kelim, and it compares glass to metal, that just like metal can be fixed by heating it, so too glass, if it's cracked, can be fixed by heating it. The reason to compare glass to cheres would be that it comes from sand. It's made from sand, just like cheres is made from the ground. So it's in how it's made. In Avod Zarah Daf Ayin Hey, when we're talking about Tevilas Kelim, it's in how it's fixed. That since it's fixed, similar to metal, it would be like metal. The third source in Chazal is in Avos Rabbi Nassan, Mem Aleph Vav. The Avos Rabbi Nassan says, and this is about Blios, that glass is not balea and not polate. That is the nature of glass, that it is neither balea nor polate. So those are the three sources in Chazal. The question is, what do we do with that? Meaning, what is the status of glass? So there are four basic shitos in Rishonim. First shita, Tosin Avod Zar, Daflam Gimlam Beis, as well as the shita of the Ran, in Psachim, Tesa Meral, Bedape Arif, is that glass is completely non-porous, essentially exactly like the Avos Rabbi Nassan, not so much based on the Avos Rabbi Nassan, just based on the reality, on the Metzius, that glass is not balea anything, and therefore you can use it for a milchik and for fleishik and for treif and for, I mean, you shouldn't have treif anyway, but, you know, chametz and nachametz or whatever, it doesn't make a difference because it's not balea anything. Second sheet in Rishonim is Rabbi Yechiel Miparis, is quoted in the Mordechai in third paragraph of Saks Pesachim, and the Smag, which is quoted in the Trumas Adeshin, Kuflam and Beis, which is that Chazal compare glass to klei cheres, and therefore, not only is it like klei cheres when it comes to Tum and Tara, it's like klei cheres when it comes to Kashrus, so it can be balea, but it can never be polate. So once you use glass for fleishig, you will never be able to use that glass for milchig. There's no kashering it. Once you use glass for chametz, you will never be able to use that glass for Pesach. What about the Avos Rabbi Nassan that says not balea, not polate? Okay, so they don't paskin like that Avos Rabbi Nassan. The question is why they dafka chose to compare it more like to klei cheres, like the Gemara in Shabbos does, as opposed to klei mateches, like the Gemara in Avodah Zarah does, and it could just very well be that because fundamentally the way it's made is similar to cheres. The fect that the way it's fixed is similar to mateches, that's an ancillary thing. That's not fundamental to the kli. So that's a second shita, that it's like klei cheres. A third shita is essentially shita in Rishonim of the Ar Zarua in Psachim, Reishon and Vav, and the Ritvam Psachim Taflam and Tesam Beis, quoting from the sheet of the Ra'ah, that essentially the Gemara in Avodah Zarah carries in the day, that glass is just like metal. It's balea, it's polate, it could be kasher, just like metal could be kasher. It does absorb the tam, but it can also be kasher, just like metal could be kasher. Then there's a fourth shita, which is surprising. Why would there be a fourth shita? There were only three possibilities. How could there be a fourth shita? So Rabbeinu Yonah has a fourth shita. He holds that it's a safek. We don't know whether it has din of kli cheres or din of klei mateches, and therefore you have to be machmir. So you have to assume assume that it cannot be kasher, but not because we have any certainty that it's like charas, but we just have to be machmir for such an opinion. So how do we paskin la halacha? So this is one of the major differences between Svardim and Ashkenazim. The Mechaber in Orach Chaim, and that's significant, Siman Tafnun Aleph Si'iv Chavav says that glass is not paleya, therefore, and not polate, like the Avos Rabbi Nasan, and therefore it doesn't need to be kasher, and you can use it for one, for the other, for chametz, for non-chametz, milchik, fleishik, and all of that. Rav Vadia obviously paskins that way, because the Mechab paskins that way, so Rav Vadia in the Chavadas, Chelik Aleph Siman Vav, says that is clearly the Sephardic practice, and all the Sephardic part of the Pre-Chadosh says that that is absolutely the Sephardic practice, and it's notable, the Mechaber says that even in Hilchos Pesach. Normally we have so many chumras de chametz, so even in Hilchos Pesach, he says that no problem, even in chumras de chametz is no chumra, that glass is perfectly fine. However, the Ramah disagrees in Hilchos Pesach, and he says that we're machmir, that they can't be kashered, meaning not only are they balea, in the other extreme, like lecheres, they're balea and they're not polates, so you can never kasher them, meaning one could have imagined that the Ramah would have landed in the middle, that it's like lematechus, but no, nothing to it, it's balea and it's not polate, it cannot be kashered. So the Gra and the Mishnah Brura and the Aruch HaShulchan say, yeah, the Ramah is following that Shita and Rishonim that hold that it's like Klei Cheres. However, in Yechavadat, in Chelek Aleph Siman Vav, Rav Vadia is not sure that that's what Ramah is really doing. Rav Vadia thinks more like Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Maror Katsia, that Ramah is following the Shita of the Ra'ah quoted by the Ritva, that glass is really like metal, and it can be kashered in principle, meaning it's poleya and it's polate, really that middle opinion. Why then is the Ramah telling you not to kasher it? Because he's afraid you're not going to do a good job kashering it, that you're not going to heat up the water hot enough because you're going to be afraid to crack the glass, and you're not going to do a good job kashering it. And in fact, it seems that the Chayei Adam understands this way as well, because Chayei Adam in Klal Kuf Chaf Hei Os Chaf Beis says that if it's difficult to buy new drinking glasses for Pesach, so you can kasher with Haggalah. So what do you mean kasher with Haggalah? The Ramah Pasen says Din of Klei Cheres, you can't kasher with Haggalah. So why can you kasher with Haggalah according to the Chayei Adam? Because really, fundamentally, it's like Klei Mataches. It's just that we're machmir because you may not do such a great job doing the Haggalah. Now, notably, this Chumrah of the Ramah appears in Hilchos Pesach. Does the Ramah hold this way outside of Hilchos Pesach? So a number of poskim think that no, the Ramah is only machmir in Hilchos Pesach. This is what the Knesset HaGadola writes in Yerodea, Simon Kuf Chaf Aleph, as well as many others. Where did they get this idea from? Because in Hilchos Yayin Nesach, in Hilchos Tam Yenom, in Yerodea, Simon Kuf Lamrei Siv Ches, the Mechaber says that glass that was used for Stam Yenom can be used for anything, because don't worry, it's not Balea, so that same glass can be used, and the Ramah is silent. The Ramah doesn't say a thing. So there are three ways to interpret that Ramah. One way to interpret it is the Ramah silent, because once we're not in Hilchos Pesach, the Ramah agrees to the Mechaber. Glass is not Balea, it's not Polet, it's fine. And that's one group of Achronim. The Magen Avraham does not learn the Ramah that way. He says, no, the Ramah was quiet in the Halachos of Stam Yenom, because Stam Yenom is such a low-level Isser. It's not a very significant, serious Isser. It's a lesser Isser. So if it were about anything other than wine, the Ramah would have been machmir. It's dafka unique to Stam Yenom, where the Ramah is going to be making about glass, but anywhere outside of Stam Yenom. It's not unique to Pesach. It's anywhere outside. Stam Yenom is what's unique. Anywhere outside of Stam Yenom is going to be machmir. Prima Gadim in Aruch Chaim in Mishpat Zav and the Aruch HaShulchan in Aruch Chaim Sim Tafnun Al Sif Nun say, no, there's a third way to understand the Ramah, that in Hilchos Pesach the Ramah is machmir because it absorbed hot. He was talking about where the glass absorbs hot with hot food, but when it comes to Stam Yenom, it was all cold. So the Ramah is makel when it comes to anything to glass that absorbs cold. Prima Gadim and the Aruch HaShulchan say that a person could be makel with cold absorption in a glass, even about Pesach. So it's not a chiluk between Pesach versus Stam Yenom. Not that Pesach is the exception, nor that Stam Yenom is the exception. It's just a chiluk between hot bliya and cold bliya. That the Rama is going to be machmir about hot bliya and mekel about cold bliya. So if you're Sephardic, this is a very straightforward sugya. Glass, good, no problem, done, right? If you're Ashkenazic, this has gotten very confusing because we know the Rama is machmir, but how machmir? And where is he machmir? Is he machmir ochos Pesach only? Is he machmir everywhere? So generally speaking, Ashkenazim assume that certainly for Pesach we don't kasher glass. However, the Aruch HaShulchan Tafnun Aleph says that if you have whiskey glasses, you can kasher that for Pesach by doing Mariko Shtifa. Mariko Shtifa is by soaking glasses for 24 hours in a bathtub and then letting out the water and soaking it again for 24 hours and doing that again a third time. And the idea is that the Ramah's concept of not kashering glass doesn't apply for a glass that was bolea cold. And even though whiskey may be considered a davar charif, he's not concerned that it's going to be an issue of kavush kumavushal that the tam of the whiskey gets into the glasses. Rabbi Eider in his halachos of Pesach is machmir and says that the Mishra Brura is machmir about this, that you have to worry that it's a davar charif. This comes up in kashering for Pesach on glass stove tops. Right, so if you're a Svartik, you have no problem. But if you're Ashkenazic, you have a real problem. Because if you hold that the Ramah is machmir for Pesach, or if you hold that the Ramah is machmir for anything that's bolea hot, so your glass stovetops are a problem. So I always recommend that people buy it now before it sells out right before Pesach. You go on Amazon, they have these things that are meant for cleanliness purposes, that are meant to go on the glass stovetop, to be mafsik between the kedera and the stovetop. So they actually make such a product, so it's apparently safe to use, and that would solve your problems. Now, when it comes to non-Pesach use, and it comes to glass, so the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelktes Simul Chavav quotes that there are those that never allow glass utensils to be kashered, and that's the sheet of Rav Ozner and Shevet Alevi. Although others think that maybe there's room to compromise, Tzitz Eliezer himself and Rav Avadya Yosef both say, and Minchas Yitzchak writes this as well, say that if it absorbs hot, it could be kashered. Even if it absorbs hot, it could be kashered, but it needs to be kashered. Meaning, what they're doing is they're saying that I know there's an opinion that it can't be kashered, and the Ramah doesn't like the idea of kashering it, but we need to be mindful of the opinion that it can, that it doesn't even need to be kashered, so maybe we can go with the middle ground. I believe the OU's shita is to allow for glasses to be cleaned in treif dishwashers. Like to that, at least to that extent. That meaning when the OU takes over, I think Rabbi Schreier told me, when the OU takes over a hotel, they'll go into the hotel kitchen, so that when they empty out the dishes after they do an affair for 600 people or whatever, it reeks. They have all these dirty dishes. They don't rely on kashering the dishwashers in the hotel, but at least the glasses, I think the glass kalim, at least they're makel with, because there are a number of kulas to combine when it comes to dishwashers. Okay, that's a little bit of a primer on glasses and kashering.